الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. In the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, there were two superpowers. One was the Persian Empire and the other was the Roman Empire. The area of Jerusalem, of Masjid al-Aqsa, and the surrounding areas of Sham, which today would be Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, parts of Turkey, all of this was under the control of the Romans. There's a famous narration that in the sixth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had written letters to different kings. And among those kings that Rasulullah ﷺ had written letters to, one was the Roman Emperor Hercules, Hiraqal. At that time, he was visiting Ilya, which is Jerusalem, which is Baytul Muqaddas. So whilst he was there in Ilya, he received this letter of Rasulullah ﷺ. He wanted to further inquire about Rasulullah ﷺ. So he asked his men to find out and to investigate, is there anyone in this area or anyone in our territory who comes from that area? So Abu Sufyan, who was not yet a Muslim at that time, later on became a Sahabi radiallahu an, he was there for some business. So he was summoned to Hiraqal, he was summoned to hear Hercules, and then Hercules asked him certain questions. After he received the answers, Hercules mentioned to him, فَإِنْ كَانَ مَا تَقُولُ حَقًّا فَسَيَمْلِكُ مَوْضِعَ قَدَمَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ, that if what you're saying is true, if you have given me the correct answers, then this person will, he and his followers will rule over the place beneath my feet. Meaning this will fall one day and this will become his territory one day. So the Christians already knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take over Baytul Muqaddas. The Romans were Christians at that time and they were ruling over this area. There were different battles that were fought against the Romans. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battle of Muta, the famous battle which was fought where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had appointed three Sahaba radiallahu anhum as Amirs in succession. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, if he becomes Shaheed, then Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an, if he becomes Shaheed, then Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had predicted, each one of them had become Shaheed until Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an had taken the flag and safely navigated the Muslim army out of the battlefield of Muta. So this was the first battle and encounter with the Romans. Thereafter, the famous expedition of Tabuk, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in extreme heat and difficulty, marched with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because there was a threat from the Romans. This was the second expedition against the Romans. The third expedition against the Romans was the wasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi left this world, he had prepared the army of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhuma, the son of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, with the intention of avenging the death of his father Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an. And one of the parting advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi before leaving this world was, anfidhu jaysha Usama, that make sure that the army of Usama is dispatched. So this was the third expedition against the Romans. Thereafter, towards the end of his khilafat, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an sent four armies to the Roman territory. One was under the leadership of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu an to Hims. Under the leadership of Amr bin As radiallahu an to Philistine, to Palestine. Under the leadership of Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu an to Urdun, which is current day Jordan. And under the leadership of Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma to Damascus. So these were the four armies that Abu Bakr radiallahu an had sent. Because of the huge number of the Romans, when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an had broken the backbone of the Persian Empire, Abu Bakr radiallahu an gave him the instruction that he should march from Iraq and he should also come to Sham. And then finally, all after many different battles had taken place, encounters had taken place, all these armies had met at one spot. And that was the battlefield of Yarmouk. The battlefield of Yarmouk is on the northern side of Jordan. In today's time, it is on the border of Jordan and Golan Heights, which is part of current day Israel. And on one side is Sham, is Syria. So there's a river that is flowing. It's a valley. The river of Yarmouk, which is part of the river Jordan. And this is where that battle had taken place. Very, very difficult terrain. They had chosen the spot. The Romans had chosen the spot because of the difficulty. There were trenches there. It was a valley. And here, it was 40,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum against 240,000 Romans. 40,000 Sahaba against 240,000 Romans. Someone commented at that occasion and said, "Ma aqall al muslimin wa akthar al kafirin." How few in number are the believers and how great in number are the disbelievers. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu became very upset and loudly he shouted and he said, "Ma aqall al kafirin wa akthar al muslimin." The kuffar are so few in number and the Muslims are so large in number. And then he mentioned a very important statement, which is great inspiration for us today in the crisis that we find the ummah. He says, "Innama takthuru al-junudu bin nasr wa taqillu bil khidlan." That the size of an army does not depend on its number. The strength of an army does not depend on the large numbers that they have. He says that an army is large in number if it secures the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that army has been forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has not secured the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that army can be huge in number, but they're absolutely nothing. Respected friends, when we see our helpless brothers in Gaza, and the way they have to face to the superpowers of the time, the latest ammunition that they have, the latest jets that they have, the latest bombs that they have, as if they did not have enough, others had to come to help them also. As if they did not have enough, that others had to come to help them. But let us understand, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an, on that historic occasion of Yarmouk, when it was 40,000 Sahaba against 240,000 Romans, he said that help and victory does not depend on this. It depends on the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as an ummah, we have to secure the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah mentioned in Quran, after the incident of Uhud, إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, no one can overpower you. وَإِيَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And if Allah has to forsake you, who is there that can help you? Obviously, the incident of Yarmouk is a very lengthy incident. But this battle was a decisive battle. It was that battle that broke the back of the Romans. Thereafter, the Roman king, Hiraqal, Hercules, and many of his army had to retreat. And they went away. Obviously, there were other battles that were fought thereafter as well. But this was that very, very decisive battle, where only 40,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum had fought against this very, very strong and mighty army of the Romans, 240,000 of them, and they had defeated them. Amr bin As radiallahu an was fighting in Philistine. He was fighting against a very powerful Roman general by the name of Artabun. There was one battle that he had fought against him. The historians write the Battle of Ajnadin. They say this battle was as difficult as the Battle of Yarmouk. And the losses in Yarmouk, in Ajnadin, were similar to the losses in Yarmouk. Thereafter, Artabun, after being defeated, he retreated to Ilya, or which we know as Jerusalem, as Baytul Muqaddas. And there he had a very strong army. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu laid siege to Ilya, laid siege to Baytul Muqaddas. For 4 months they laid siege. In difficult conditions, extreme cold, winter, but they laid siege to Baytul Muqaddas. He sends a message to Artabun, or Artabun sends a message to him and says to him, that after whatever you have taken of Philistine, of Palestine, you're not going to take over anything else. So you're wasting your time laying siege here. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu sends a message back to him, sends a letter. And he says that you know very well that I am going to conquer this place. So why are you unnecessarily putting up a fight? You know I'm going to be the conqueror. And then he says, he sends a messenger that could understand the Roman language. And he told him that you must hang around there and listen to his answer. He also mentioned to him in that letter that I want you to read this letter to all your generals and to all your leaders. So when the letter reached, then Artabun reads this letter and he replies that this man is never going to conquer this place. So his people ask him, how you know with so much of certainty that he's not going to be conquering this place? He says that in our scriptures it is written that a person who has a name with 3 letters will take over this place. And that is Umar. 3 letters. Now in English, Umar and Amr is spelled the same. One is spelled with a U, one is spelled with a A. But in the Arabic language, to make a difference between Umar and Amr, because they would not use, in the previous times, they would not use harakat. So, to make a difference between Umar and Amr, the word Amr is written with a waw at the end, which makes it 4 letters. Although it's not pronounced, it's a silent letter, but it makes it 4 letters. So his name has 4 letters, the person who is going to conquer this place has 3 letters in his name. When Amr bin As radiallahu anhu receives this message, he sends a message to Umar radiallahu anhu. And he says that we are fighting in very difficult circumstances. And this land is waiting for you. When Umar radiallahu anhu receives this letter in Madinah Munawwara, he makes mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu says that my suggestion is we should not give in to the demands of the enemy. Because we must not make them feel that we are weak. And we are giving in to their demands. لِيَكُونَ أَرْغَمَ لِأُنُوفِهِمْ We need to cut their noses. We need to put them in their place. Why must we give in to their demands? Ali radiallahu anhu says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, by you going there, it will make things so much easier for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and for the Muslims that have laid siege to Baytul Muqaddas. Umar radiallahu anhu accepts the suggestion of Ali radiallahu anhu. And now he departs from Medina Munawwara. Let us understand, on what mission is he going? He's going as the leader. He's going as Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's going to newly conquered territories. His army has defeated the Romans and taken away large pieces of land, large tracts of land from the Romans. That is the position that he's going in. Now they're all waiting for Amir al-Mu'mineen to come. But Amir al-Mu'mineen is traveling from Madinah Munawwara in a very, very simple way. No pomp, no glory, no show. On an ordinary horse he was traveling, without any saddle also. There were no stirrups for his feet. It was just a simple blanket on that camel, on that horse. A simple blanket. وِطَاؤُهُ إِذَا رَكِبْ وَفِرَاشُهُ إِذَا نَزَلْ When he was riding, it would be his saddle. When he would take a rest, that would become his bedding. Behind him, Amir al-Mu'mineen had one bag filled with fibers from date palms. And he would use it as a backrest when he was riding. And when he needed to sleep, that was his pillow. In this way, in a simple way, with his legs dangling without any stirrups, Amir al-Mu'mineen is traveling from Medina Munawwara. More than 1,000 kilometers he's traveling in this way. The generals are waiting for him, Sahaba are waiting for him. Those that have newly accepted Islam are all waiting his arrival. What a moment it's going to be. But Amir al-Mu'mineen is traveling in this simple way. And let us go back in history. Before we continue. When Umar radiallahu anhu, pre-Islam, Before Islam, before he had accepted Islam, in his young days, he had once traveled to Sham for some business. It was normal at that time, they would travel to Sham for business. So he had traveled to this area for some business, and he was caught up with some work, so he asked his companions that you can go ahead, I will catch up with you all. And after, while he was doing his work, there was a priest, a Christian priest who had met him, and he overpowers Umar radiallahu anhu, and he takes him into a room and he locks him up. In that room, there was some sand on one side, there was a type of a bucket, and there was a spade, and he says to Umar radiallahu anhu that fill the sand from this side of the room and move it to that side. And he locks Umar radiallahu anhu here and he goes away. Umar radiallahu anhu sat and thought to himself, and he did nothing for that entire time. When this person came in, now he was upset, and he begins to become harsh with Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, after all, was Umar. He picked up that spade and he struck this person and he killed him. Now he runs from there. Ibn Kathir rahimullah has recorded this in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. He runs from there. And then he passes by a monastery of a monk. So he waits by that monastery. After some time, the monk comes up and he asks him what is the story. He says that I've been left behind from my companions. So that monk begins to stare at him. Umar radiallahu anhu is worried now. What's happening? Why is he staring at me? Then he says to Umar radiallahu anhu that the Christians are fully aware that I have the most knowledge with regards to the scriptures. There's no one that knows the scriptures like me. And I am telling you that you are going to be that person that is going to expel us from this land. When was this? Before Islam. You are going to be the person who's going to expel us from this land. Umar radiallahu anhu was an ordinary person in Makkah Mukarramah. Where will he ever dream of expelling the Christians and the Romans out of their own land? He says to this person, you're talking other things. You're talking some other things. I just need to go and meet up with my companions. That person insisted, that monk insisted, that I want an amnesty document from you. You must give me amnesty that the day you rule over this land, my monastery will be kept secure and safe and no one will interfere with it. So Umar radiallahu anhu, not thinking anything about it, but right now this man is insisting, never mind, let me write something for him. And now that time came finally, when now Amirul Mu'mineen is marching, and he is going, in the simple way he's traveling now towards Sham, he sends a message to his different generals. As we explained, there were different Sahaba radiallahu anhum, with small armies. He sends a message to them, that I will meet you at the spot called Jabiya, at a place called Jabiya. This will be the meeting point. All of them anxiously waiting to meet Amirul Mu'mineen. It's more than 2 years that have passed since they have last seen him in Medina Munawwara. They were doing great work and great achievements. Now is the time for them to meet the Amir. So they all meet at Jabiya as Umar radiallahu anhu approaches. And he comes to Sham. A very famous incident. Umar radiallahu anhu passes by a stream. In his simplicity, not thinking anything about himself, Umar radiallahu anhu jumps off his conveyance. Because there was a stream to cross. He removes his shoes, places them under his armpits, holding the reins of his conveyance. Umar radiallahu anhu steps into the stream, into this water, and he passes in this way. On the other side, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu is looking at him. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu was the commander-in-chief of all the armies. So there were amirs of each army, but when they would all meet together, then Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu was the commander-in-chief. He would rule over all of them and decide over all of them. So he sees Umar radiallahu anhu coming. He says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you are coming to meet influential people here. You're coming to meet the leaders of this place. And you are behaving in this way. In our terms, in this undignified manner, you're coming in this way. You must come with some type of respect, some type of dignity. When Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu heard these words, he had great respect for Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. There's many incidents to explain this. Just one thing, when Umar radiallahu anhu was passing away, and it was the matter of appointing a khalifa, he says, if Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was living, then eyes closed, in our terms, eyes closed, I would have appointed him as khalifa. But because he's not living, he appointed a shura, and they will decide a khalifa from among them. So nevertheless, that was the respect he had for Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu on one hand. But when Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu made this statement, Umar radiallahu anhu was very affected. Why? Because this is not how a Muslim is supposed to be thinking. Our respect does not lie in material. Our respect does not lie in these kind of things. He punches Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu in his chest. And he says, Oh ya Aba Ubaidah, lo ghayraka qalaha, if only someone else could say something like that. Not you, Abu Ubaidah. I didn't expect you to say something like this. And then Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned those famous words, which we have heard many a times, but is absolutely relevant in today's time as well, and more relevant today. And we need to be constantly pondering over these words of Umar radiallahu anhu. And we need to take an account and stock of ourselves in retrospect to these words. Where Umar radiallahu anhu said, Remember, O Abu Ubaidah, kuntum adhallan nas, wa ahqaran nas, wa aqallan nas. Remember when you were so few in number. In the initial days in Makkah Mukarramah, you were so weak. You did not have any type of power and any type of might. And today Allah is bringing the Roman Empire at his knees before you. How did this happen? How did this happen? فَعَزَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ This izzat that came to you was not because of anything else besides Islam. There was no force that you had. There was no might that you had. There was no leadership or power that you had. It was only and only because of following the deen of Islam 100% that Allah brought you to see this day. That now we are marching for the second greatest conquest, and that is the conquest of Baitul Muqaddas. All of this, how did it happen? It happened because of Islam. And then Umar radiallahu anhu explains, فَمَهْمَا تَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّكُمُ اللَّهِ When you look for izzat in other things besides Islam, that this will solve our problem, and that will solve our problem, everything besides Islam. Then Umar radiallahu anhu says, on this historic occasion, when we also have that desire, that Allah must truly liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, and we say Ameen to this as well. But let us understand, there were certain things that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had, that were the secrets to their success. And through this journey, we will understand those secrets. Those important points that were mentioned by Umar radiallahu anhu, that inshallah, if we take these points to heart, then inshallah, we will also be able to see that day. Umar radiallahu anhu says, that this izzat that you see now, it's only because of Islam. Respected friends, we can make the biggest slogans. We can say whatever we want to say, but as long as we don't get Islam into our lives, it's a distant dream to dream about the liberation of Aqsa and to dream about the glory of Islam. So Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned these words. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he sees that these generals of his are wearing very fine clothing. Among them was Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma, Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu could not come because he was laying siege to Baitul Muqaddas. So these great Sahaba were there, and he sees that they are wearing fine clothing. Now he's meeting them after so long. It was a very, very auspicious moment. Umar radiallahu anhu, before even meeting them, he bends down to pick up pebbles. And he was about to throw these stones at them. And he says to them, سَرْعَ مَا لَفَتْتُمْ عَنْ رَأْيِكُمْ So quickly you have changed your ways and your views. So quickly you have changed. إِنَّمَا شَبِعْتُم مُنْذُ سَنَتَيْن Only 2 years you year and you cannot manage. You cannot manage this culture. And you have changed your dressing and adopted better dressing, finer clothing in 2 years. إِيَّايَ تَسْتَقْبِلُونِ فِي هَذَا الزِّي You have the audacity to meet me in this kind of clothing. And look at Umar radiallahu anhu. How particular about something that we will regard to be insignificant. Small things, these are not small things. These were great people, and they had a great mission. And to accomplish that great mission, there were important things that needed to be in order. They explained to Umar radiallahu anhu, that, O Amirul Mu'mineen, this is just a camouflage. Under this, we are wearing our normal clothing. We have our weapons. We have not forgotten our mission. We have not forgotten our culture. And then Umar radiallahu anhu says that if you were living here for 200 years, not for 2 years, if you were living here for 200 years and you changed after 200 years, I would have removed you from your position. Explaining the importance of maintaining our Islamic identity. Wherever we are, whatever the situation may be, not that when in Rome do as the Romans do. Sahaba were in Rome, but they never did as the Romans did. They changed those people. They changed the local culture. One Abu Hassan Ali Nadwi Rahimullah, there's a lengthy lecture of his, we don't have the time to go into it. Ash-Shakhsiyatul Islamiyah, Islamic identity, which he had given in a university that was named Jami'a Yarmouk. After the Battle of Yarmouk, it wasn't at the same spot, it was in Irbid, in Sham, in Syria, but it was named after Yarmouk. And Umar, Mawlana Abu Hassan al-Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi explained the great achievement of Sahaba radiallahu anhu in Yarmouk. He says this was one of the historical battles of Islam. Such a small number against such a huge number. And then Mawlana Abu Hassan rahmatullah alayhi goes on to mention a very interesting and important point. He says, whilst the conquest of Sahaba was amazing, how Sahaba radiallahu anhu had fought against so huge numbers, he said something even more amazing than that. A greater victory than that was a victory which Sahaba radiallahu anhu had achieved in terms of a mental warfare that we can call it. An ideological warfare. He went to the superpowers of the time. They did not get sucked into the culture of the Persians and the Romans. Wherever they went, the culture of the local people did not affect them. Although they came from a backward culture. The Arab civilization was a backward civilization. The superpowers of the time, like a person moving over to America or to England, what happens to that person generally? So quickly he will change. Even his accent will also change. Automatically he'll start speaking differently. Why? Because of suffering and inferiority complex. And because of feeling that that is something superior, he says, Sahaba, the greater battle that they won was wherever they went, they maintained the Islamic identity. Again, a thought for us, something for us to think about, a reflection for us, that we are overawed by everything Western. Everything other than our own culture, our own Islamic culture, whilst we will swear these people, for invading the Muslim lands, they have already invaded our hearts, they have invaded our homes, they have invaded our minds. Everything of theirs is what we will adopt. And that becomes the standard, that becomes the yardstick, and that becomes a sign of honor and dignity for us. And Allah forbid, the sunnat way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes backward. It becomes something frowned upon. How can I do this? And how can I behave in this way? What will people say? Nevertheless, Umar radiallahu anhu at this occasion, before meeting them also, he cautioned them about this important point of even if you're living in a place for 200 years, you cannot forget your identity. You will have to still maintain your identity. Here in Jabiya, when Umar radiallahu anhu meets them, he gave different advices. Obviously, time is running out. We don't have the time to go into all the different advices Umar radiallahu anhu gave. We will just mention the advices. One was, Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya ayyuhan nas, asli'u sarairakum tasluh ala niyatukum. Now again, it was a very historic moment. Umar radiallahu anhu is meeting his generals, he's meeting his army after a long time. And obviously, there would be new people also at that time. He says, "Aslihu sarairakum, tasluh ala niyatukum." Make an effort on rectifying your internal self. Your external self will be rectified as well. Umar radiallahu anhu is not undermining the external, but he's explaining the focus should be on the internal. Many a times we are only focused on the external. It's the image that we have. So outwardly we must look like Muslims. Outwardly we must dress like Muslims. MashaAllah, it's very important and very great. But if externally we have Islam and internally we do not have that purification and that rectification, then that is not enough. So the focal point has to be the internal self. Then he says, اِعْمَلُوا لِآخِرَتِكُمْ تُكْفُوا أَمْرَ دُنْيَاكُمْ. That make your primary effort akhirat. Primary effort has to be akhirat. your dunya will be taken care of. Today what happens, our dunya becomes our primary focus, and regarding akhirat, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, Allah will take care of that, Allah will forgive us. So now when it comes to my child's education, my child needs to go to the most prestigious school. Even at the expense of his deen, no problem. But you know, education is very important. And madrasa education, dini education, now they have, the child can't work so hard also, and they need to play also. And now we make all types of excuses when it comes to deen. But this is just one example. So many other examples we can give of this nature. But the point is, the primary focus has to be akhirat. Then he says, "Man sarrathu hasanatuhu wa sa'athu sayyi'atuhu fa huwa mu'min." The yardstick of iman is when a person does good, then he gets happy on the favor of Allah, on the tawfiq of Allah to do that good. Not that he becomes proud, but he feels happy. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me the tawfiq to perform my five daily salah. So this good gives him happiness. وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَتُهُ. And if he has to do some wrong, then he feels bad about the wrong that he does. Unfortunately again, we not only don't feel bad about the wrong, but we will take selfies of ourselves taking the wrong and post it on social media to leave evidence for the wrong that we are doing also. And sometimes Allah forbid, the person may be gone, passed away, but the evidence of all his haram is still prevalent in the world, is still found in the world. Umar radiallahu anhu says that bad must make you feel bad, that evil must make you feel bad. Then this is a sign of iman. Whilst in Jabia, a very emotional moment was when Bilal radiallahu anhu came to visit Umar radiallahu anhu. He was also living in Sham. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal radiallahu anhu could not manage living in Madinah Munawwara anymore. The memories were too much for him. So he asked permission from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to move over to Sham, to move over to Syria. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu begged him, please remain in Madinah Munawwara. Because of the favor of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had set him free. In lieu of this favor, this ihsan of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu remained in Madinah Munawwara. But as soon as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Bilal radiallahu anhu says to Umar radiallahu anhu, now I'm leaving. So now, after 2 years, Bilal radiallahu anhu comes also to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. Whilst in Jabia, this very historic moment, where old friends are meeting after a long time, Sahaba request Umar radiallahu anhu that please ask Bilal radiallahu anhu to call out the adhan. So Bilal radiallahu anhu accepts the offer or accepts the request, and he calls out the adhan. Imagine the flashback that Sahaba must have had at that time. Allah forbid, today we have flashbacks of haram, flashbacks of filth. Sahaba had that flashback of that golden era when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there in Masjid al-Nabawi, and the beautiful voice of Bilal radiallahu anhu calling out the adhan. When Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah is called out, they can look at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now all these memories flood their mind. Aslam rahimahullah, the slave of Umar radiallahu anhu, says, "Falam ara akthara baqiyam min yawma idhin." That was the day in my life when I saw the most amount of people crying. In my entire life, I didn't see people cry like I saw them on that day. While Umar radiallahu anhu was here in Jabia, now that incident that we mentioned earlier on of that monk who took that amnesty from Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes to Umar radiallahu anhu with that document now. His scriptures had prophesied it, that this is going to be the man who's going to be conquering this land. He comes with that amnesty document and he shows it to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu says to him that we will keep up to our promise. No one will interfere with you, you will be allowed to live there as is. Then a delegation comes from Baytul Muqaddas, from Ilya. A delegation comes to Umar radiallahu anhu, and they ask for protection and asylum from Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu gives them protection. Now it's time for Umar radiallahu anhu to go. And that last leg of the journey, that historic moment, where now they will be conquering the third holiest place. Umar radiallahu anhu's animal, his horse at that time was a bit injured. It was hurt. Long journey he traveled. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked for another conveyance. Another breed of a horse was brought, not an Arab breed. Another breed was brought. When Umar radiallahu anhu sat on this horse, the movement and the walk of this horse was a very proud movement. It would walk with a lot of pride. Umar radiallahu anhu took a few steps on the back of this horse, and he immediately jumped off this horse. He strikes this horse, and he says, "Who taught you to move in this proud manner?" And then Umar radiallahu anhu says, again, the point is, how conscious they were about things that we would regard to be small things. But these were perhaps the secrets to their success. He was so worried and concerned about the condition of his heart, that he says, لَقَدْ غَيَّرَنِي هَذَا حَتَّى خِفْتُ أَنْ أَتَكَبَّرْ, that the movement of this horse, the proud movement of the horse, is changing the condition of my heart. I fear pride will come into my heart. He's going for this victory. All the floodlights are on him, but his floodlights are shining on his heart. That what is the condition of my heart? Is pride entering my heart? If pride is entering my heart, I will jump off this horse. I will not ride on this horse. Thereafter, Umar radiallahu anhu goes. He enters Baytul Muqaddas. He signs a treaty with the Christians near a church of theirs, which is up till today still found in the old city. So near this church, he signs a document, a treaty with them. It was time for salah. So the priest told him, come and perform your salah here. He says, no, I will not perform salah here. If I have to perform my salah here, then later on Muslims will lay claim to your church. And they will say that our Amir performs salah here, therefore this belongs to us. I have given you asylum, and I have given you safety and security. All your places of worship will be kept safely. So now I cannot perform salah here. He goes opposite, or he goes at a distance, and he performs his salah there. And we will find up till today in the old city, there's Masjid Umar on one side, and there's a church of the Holy Sepulchre on the other side. This was the justice of Umar radiallahu anhu. Now he enters the masjid, and he goes to the mihrab of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. He performs 2 rakats of Tahiyyatul Masjid. And then he asks Ka'ab Ahbar. Ka'ab Ahbar was a very learned Jew who accepted Islam after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he asked him, where is the rock? That rock which is beneath the dome of the rock that we know about. So beneath the dome is a rock. That rock is from Jannat. As-sakhratu min al-jannah. This rock is from Jannat. It's a very sacred rock that came from Jannat. But this rock is the Qibla, or was the Qibla of the Yahud, of the Jews. So they would attach a lot of importance to this rock. The Christians, as revenge, to take revenge from the Jews, they made this rock a dump site. And they threw every type of filth for years and years. They threw filth on this rock to disrespect the rock which the Jews would respect. When the letter of Rasulullah ﷺ had come to Hiraqal whilst he was in Baytul Muqaddas, he told the Christians, that innakum la khaliqun an tuqtalu ala hadhihi al-kunasa, that it's possible that you will be killed by this dumb sight. Bimam tahantum hadhal masjid, because of the disrespect that you have shown to this masjid. The importance of showing respect to the masjid, to the sha'air of Islam, to the salient features of Islam. He says that I fear that because you have disrespected this masjid, this will become the cause for your downfall. Like how the Jews, when they disrespected the Anbiya and they killed Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were destroyed because of that. I fear the same is going to happen to you because of disrespecting this masjid. So start cleaning this place. And they began to clean. But there was so much of dirt that time ran out. They could not clean enough. They only managed to clean about 1/3 of the dirt until Umar radiallahu anhu already came and conquered. Now Umar radiallahu anhu gave instruction that this place should be clean. He himself, Amirul Mu'min himself, he began to clean some of it. And then he appointed certain people to clean the rock. Thereafter he asked Ka'ab Ahbar, where should we perform salah? So the Aqsa compound is a huge compound. And in the Aqsa compound, there are different masajid. There are different masajid in the Aqsa compound. So the dome of the rock is one masjid. But the main masjid is in the front, which is known as Masjid Umar. And beneath it is Masjid Qadim. This is where the main jamaat takes place, the main salah takes place. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked Ka'ab Ahbar, that where should I perform salah? So, just to picture it, if this is the Aqsa compound, the front, the Qibla wall is here, this is where Masjid Umar is. In the center, approximate center of the entire compound is the Dome of the Rock. So that is where the rock is, the center. But the Qibla wall is still at the front. So Ka'b Ahbar says to him, Ya Rabbi Amir al-Mu'mineen, perform salah behind the rock. So you will be facing the rock and you will also be facing the Qibla. Now in this way, what you would be doing, you would be merging between the two religions. You would be respecting the Qibla of the Yahud and you would also be following the Kaaba, facing the Kaaba and the Qibla of the Muslims. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, he says to Ka'b Ahbar, Dahayt al-Yahudiyah. There's still some traces of Yahudiyat in you. Some of your old religion is still within you. You haven't left your old religion. You still want to respect the Qibla of the Yahud. No, when it comes to aspects of our deen and our belief, we have to be very clear. There's no such thing as respecting some other deen. Yes, we will respect it if it belongs to us. If there's something of respect, for example, that rock is from Jannah, we will respect it in that way. But not that now we will go overboard and face it and perform salah. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, I will not perform salah here. I will go and perform salah at the front by the Qibla wall. Because this is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed salah when he led the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam on the night of Mi'raj. And Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the front and he performs salah there. In his salah, Umar radiallahu anhu, in one of the rakats, he recited the opening verses of Surah Bani Israel, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Lengthy explanation of these verses, the gist of the message of the surah, or of these verses, which again is a very important message. And it is perhaps the most important message for us today, in the current crisis that the Ummah is facing, where Allah explains His system when it comes to Masjid al-Aqsa. The system of Allah with regard to Masjid al-Aqsa is that Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid al-Aqsa is the gauge of the Ummah. It is a reflection of the a'mal of the Ummah. That when the a'mal of the Ummah will be of that level which is pleasing to Allah, then Allah will give control of Baytul Muqaddas to the Ummah. And when the a'mal of the Ummah are not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will not give control of Baytul Muqaddas to the Ummah. It happened to the Jews on two occasions. And Allah said to them, Asa Rabbukum ay yarhamakum. Perhaps your Rabb will have mercy upon you and give you control. But then Allah says, remember, وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. If you go back, we will take it back. If you go back, we will take it back. While the current situation in Palestine really hurts us, and it has to hurt us, it's the dictate and demand of Iman for us to be heard, at how our brothers and sisters and those innocent children are being mercilessly butchered. Respected friends, our a'mal is contributing to that situation. It is our a'mal, the a'mal of the ummah at large, that results in what, that affects what goes on in that Mubarak lands. If we are truly concerned, if we truly concerned, and if we really want to see the change, then respected friends, we will have to make the change. We will have to make the change in our own lives, to inshallah see the change happening there. This is that nizam and system, which Allah explained in these opening verses of Surah Bani Israel. And perhaps there may have been a reason for Umar radiallahu anhu to recite these verses when he conquered Masjid al-Aqsa as a lesson for the Ummah. He gave many lessons on their entire journey, culminating with this lesson that this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst we are concerned, we will make dua and we have to make dua. And we will give sadaqah and we must give sadaqah. We will do other things as well. But let us make a resolution tonight that, Ya Allah, the plight of those masoom children is hurting me. They scream and their cry is hurting me. Oh Allah, for their sake, in order to bring a change in that condition, Oh Allah, this guna in my life, this guna in my life, and this guna in my life, I am making total tawbah from it, complete tawbah, and inshallah, I will never go back to that guna. In this way, even if we make tawbah from one guna, one major sin, we have definitely made a positive change that inshallah will bring some type of relief to the Muslims in that part of the world. So this is a gist of this great conquest of Masjid al-Aqsa, of Umar radiallahu an, obviously thereafter Masjid al-Aqsa remained in the control of the Muslims for many centuries. For many centuries, right till the year 493, when the Crusaders came and invaded Masjid al-Aqsa. And then for a period of 88 years, the Ummah had lost control of Masjid al-Aqsa because of various vices and wrongs that were prevalent in that time. And thereafter, after 88 years, Allah had blessed Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah with that great victory that we had discussed in detail last year sometime. The great victory of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah, where once again he took control of Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us those glorious days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease in the plight and the suffering of our brothers and sisters and those masoom and innocent children in Palestine, in Gaza. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again show us that day when Masjid al-Aqsa will be in the complete control of the Muslims. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh. Allahumma la nuhsi thanaan alayk. أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نتوب إليك من المعاصي كلها لا نرجع إليها أبدا اللهم ردنا ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم ردنا ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم ردنا ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث اللهم منزل الكتاب ومجري السحاب وهازم الأحزاب اهزمهم وانصرنا عليهم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم اللهم ارحمهم اللهم اجبر كسرهم اللهم تقبل شهداءهم اللهم اشف مرضاهم وجرحاهم اللهم إنهم جياع فأطعمهم اللهم إنهم عطشان فاسقهم اللهم استر عوراتهم وآمن روعاتهم اللهم استر عوراتهم وآمن روعاتهم اللهم استر عوراتهم وآمن روعاتهم اللهم عليك باليهود الغاصبين اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك اللهم من أرادنا وأراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فأشغله بنفسه فأشغله بنفسه ورد كيده في نحره واجعل تدبيره تدميره يا رب العالمين اللهم زلزل أقدامهم ومزق جمعهم وشتت شملهم وخرب ديارهم اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أخرج اليهود من جزيرة العرب اللهم أخرج اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب ومن بلاد المسلمين اللهم أخرج اليهودية والنصرانية من قلوب المسلمين اللهم أقر أعيننا بإعادة المسجد الأقصى إلى بلاد المسلمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين